Good evening. Welcome to this week's Money and Market Report. This is Catherine Austin Fitz. I'm delighted you could join me this week. Today is Thursday, February 11th, 2021. And as I look around the world, I keep hearing my pastor's voice back in Washington. God does not bless a mess. On the website, wrap-ups, we mailed the second quarter injection fraud 57 days ago. Not one has arrived in the United States. These are the individually packaged one. Obviously, the courier packages got to Hickory Valley. It was quite mysterious when an entire shipment of an extraordinary amount of hard copy wrap-ups disappears and not one makes it through. It kind of makes you wonder. So we, after 30 days, we ordered a new printing, shipped it to the United States, and mailed it out last week and this week. So you should have, if you're in the United States and you haven't received your second quarter injection fraud, you should hopefully receive it, if not this week, by the end of next week. If you have not received it by Friday next week, please let us know. We are hoping that ultimately you will get two, and please feel free to keep them both. We have several situations where we've sent orders in U.S. where the tracking shows they have been delivered, but subscribers say that they haven't seen them. If you are in the United States and you get a Netherlands mailed package, I'd appreciate it if you'd let us know. It's going to be one of the longest mailings in history at the Salieri Report. If you are in Europe or Asia and haven't received your second quarter injection fraud, please let us know. We are always going to keep sending you copies until you get what you paid for. I told you last week, and I'm feeling this way again. We may have to start up the Pony Express again. Third quarter Visions of Freedom, the third quarter 2020 wrap-up, is about to go to the printer shortly. It's absolutely beautiful. I can't wait for you to see it. And then as soon as Visions of Freedom goes, we'll go to work on getting the 2020 annual wrap-up going direct to the printer. We have a few more sections to finish there, so it should be done shortly. If you haven't checked out John Titus's presentation on going direct or our discussion, absolutely, if you want to understand what's going on in the world, that's a must listen and read. Let me go over the new posts. We have a lot up on the website. We've been trying to simplify the homepage in response to your requests. Some great suggestions. We really appreciate them and hope it makes it a little bit easier for you to find things and to navigate around. Special Salieri Reports, there are two up this week. One is Threefold Social Order, a discussion with Thomas Meyer on Rudolf Steiner's vision of how to sort of organize the different parts of society. Another, and it's a great discussion, another is The Real Cost of Vaccines, Part 1, with Professor Dolores Cahill. The head of European CHD asked us if we would map out sort of the financial, the real cost of vaccines, and so we tried to do it. Book review of a Dutch book about two sisters, Wisdom is a Woman. And then I did an interview with the German Corona Investigation Committee. We have a short squib up on the front, and we've put a couple of the different videos from that discussion into the News Trends and Stories. Bronwyn Evans, wonderful ally based in Thailand. I visited her in Thailand in 2019. She gave a speech in 2012. The title was Making a Business Plan for the Next 1,000 Years, and I really thought it was very appropriate to the effort underway to now build financial systems in alignment with living models, and I thought it was great. I did an interview with Tom Paine of True Pundit. You can find that through his website. Take Action, the Take Action crowdfund. In the first quarter, we want to dedicate all the money to Farm to Consumer Legal Defense Fund. If you haven't become a member or donated to Farm to Consumer Legal Defense Fund, you can take, you can find them through the Take Action crowdfund, just link to it from the homepage. If you don't want to join and send money to them directly, we're happy for you to do it through the crowdfund. But I cannot stress enough how important it is to have serious efforts, both government relations and litigation, fighting for the local farmers. The push to control the food supply is really on. Where we prefer checks, we delinked doing the online transactions. We'd like to get checks. So you can send to Hickory Valley, Soleri at P.O. Box 157, Hickory Valley, Tennessee, 38042. And again, thank you so much for all your contributions. There's a report on how much money came in and how much went out, essentially more than 100% in the annual wrap-up, and you can see that now online, and of course it'll be in the hard copies. For Take Action this week, I posted an old post that I wrote sort of in the financial crisis period called Rethinking Diversification, and it's about how to think much more broadly about your investments and what diversification means when you can't depend on centralized systems anymore. We're also going to add some things to Coming Clean, Building a Wonderful World. That's Coming Clean is sort of the introductory article we have on many of the actions that you can take. So that's backup. If things are rolling off the homepage, you can just click on what's new and you'll be able to see them in the first 10 or 20. I put up a link last week. I published a book review called Irreversible Damage about, it's a fantastic book by Abigail Shire about the trend of young girls wanting to do really irreversible damage with surgery and pharmacological treatments for transgenderism. She has a new article that we linked to at the bottom of the book review about the extent to which young girls are going to Planned Parenthood and able to get testosterone and serious drug treatments that could do them permanent harm. Biden has just signed an executive order on women's sports that is also going to, many people more knowledgeable about this subject than I feel, it's really going to destroy women's sports because it's going to make very easy for men to basically say they're, or to transgender and play in women's sports. Our theme this week is The Ides of March Cometh. We are clearly coming into a series of events in March, and then of course tax season in April. And I think we're in for a couple of very tumultuous months. My pastor used to say, if we can face it, God can fix it. Now, if you don't want to fix it, then the shriekometer and central control will simply try to control it, and they'll try and justify their actions by attacking the victim. This is war by other means, and it could get pretty tricky. There was a quote I found this week from a gentleman named Michael Saylor. Let me just read it. There's a macroeconomic wind blowing big. It's going to impact $400 trillion of capital. That capital is sitting in fiat instruments that are being debased. That capital is going to want to convert into strong money. And that capital is running around the planet like a tornado. We're watching governments turning over in Europe. I suspect what's probably happening is what John Titus and I talked about in the discussion of going direct and then in money and markets last week. We're seeing numerous situations where it looks to us like the central bankers are moving in, and I suspect it may be happening in Europe as well. But things are fluid with various governments, with elections or change of control happening in the spring. So again, Ides of March. The U.S. is trying very hard to beat the political drums to get the domestic terrorism bill passed, and I think that's part of why we're watching the impeachment and the sort of purge hysteria. The shriekometer is at very high volume. I think part of it is we're watching a delink of the management of the U.S. empire from domestic governance, and we're watching the central bankers taking over the treasury function. And the reality is they need a justification to attack the victims before the victims hold them accountable, as in, where is the $21 trillion missing from the federal government, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So if you're going to get the going direct reset done, you have to steamroll the people who are the victims of the financial coup that you're trying to consolidate. And there's no doubt they want to grab, I think they want to grab real estate and property all over the country. They want to finish destroying the independent producers, and they want to get control of the food supply. And the push for injections, the toxic injections, I continue to refuse to call the COVID-19 injections vaccines. I don't, whatever they are, they're experimental gene therapy. I don't consider them to be vaccines. Anyway, the hysteria is reaching really galactic proportions, and the dirty tricks raise serious questions about the real goals. And the more hysteria and dirty tricks they apply, the more I'm convinced that I'm correct about the different functions that they want to use creepy technology for. There was a very good interview with Dr. Sherry Tenpenny. I'll put the link in the show notes. On the COVID-19 injection, and she said essentially in the first months of vaccinations in the United States or injections in the United States, there have been more than 40,000 adverse events, 3,100 anaphylactic shocks, 5,000 reports of neurological problems, and there have been some deaths. She says that traditionally only 10% of the adverse events are reported, which would make the actual adverse events much higher. There was an excellent workshop yesterday by Children's Health Defense on the COVID-19 injections. Both links are in the notes. The workshop is over, and Children's Health Defense is planning on getting up a video and a transcript as soon as possible. So those are two sources of good information. And if you're trying to persuade family members or friends that they should think about the physical impact, the real physical impact of these things, I would strongly recommend these two. We're getting a constant flow of anecdotal information from both Europe and the United States about deaths in nursing homes that is exceptionally disturbing. I put an example of one of them in the show notes about a nursing home in Spain where literally, let me see if I can give you the dates. Mass vaccinations have been suspended in the residence after 46 people died after receiving the first dose of the vaccination administered on January 5th. I believe it was the Pfizer vaccine, and the outbreak was detected on January 12th. By 18 January, 8 elderly people had died. By January 28th, the number had risen to 30. Now there are 46 deaths. Anyway, so we're getting these reports of extraordinary numbers, high percentages getting sick and dying after taking the injection, but that's an example. Another piece in the Daily Mail, it turns out that, let me just read this, disabled people made up 6 in 10 of all deaths involving COVID-19 in England. Official data reveals number 10 is urged to prioritize protecting them. So of the 50,888 COVID deaths in England last year, 30,296 were disabled, dying in England from January 24th to November 20th. That means that the disabled accounted for 60% of the deaths, even though only 17.2% of the study population. All I can say is, looks like a major insurance company saving to me. Report from his prison that Ross Ulbricht has now taken the second Pfizer shot. The prisoners had no options. They were mandated to be given the injections. And so I would certainly ask prayers for Ross Ulbricht and his family. Many were hoping that he would be pardoned before the end of the Trump administration, but unfortunately the bravest and courageous, whether Assange or Ulbricht or some of the others, were not the ones to receive the pardon, unfortunately. We're, as part of this sort of purge push on both on the injections as well as what I would describe as the war on God, which was our number one story in News Trends and Story for the 2020. Two purges. One is Kennedy from Instagram and social media, and the other is Bruce Springsteen. Bruce Springsteen made an ad for Jeep that ran at the Super Bowl. There's a New York Post article on it in News Trends and Stories, and the link is in the show notes. It's about the most beautiful advertisement I ever saw. One of the subscribers brought it to my attention. And it was basically a call for unity in America. And it was a real, I would say it was something that really got you in touch with the divine intelligence, is all I can say. And it doesn't surprise me that they attacked Springsteen and had the ad taken down. It's been taken off of YouTube. I can't think of a better example of proof that our number one story on the war on God is really really true. This is whatever the purge is cooking up to be. It is really reaching demonic proportions. Then Kennedy was accused, and you saw this game being played between David Brock's website, Media Matters, which I would describe as sort of a hack shriekometer site, and the Washington Post, which has really become a hack shriekometer site. And they reverberated back and forth, and the net result was getting Kennedy taken off of Instagram. He's got almost a million followers on Instagram. And I think Facebook as well. One of the excuses given was the planet lockdown, and I had an altercation with the Washington Post, and I put the back and forth in the show notes. It was really funny because I got this message from a reporter at the Washington Post, and then I wrote back and explained why I had no intention of giving them an interview. And then they published an article that was, you know, it was the same, just sort of shriek-a-meter warfare, playing whatever game they're playing. And I sent it to Skidmore, and he wrote back. It was really funny. He said, I don't know if you noticed, but the end of the article is very revealing. It says, are you ready for this? Microsoft and partners may be compensated if you purchase something through recommended links in this article. I thought, oh, great. You know, Bill Gates is making a kickback, and the Gates Foundation is making a kickback on basically smearing anybody who stands in the way of their injecting the population. Anyway, so it was kind of funny. And you looked at it and you said, I just can't make it up. If you look at the smears on Kennedy, literally there is no effort whatsoever to say, okay, Kennedy said this specific thing, and here's why it's in violation of the facts or science, because they can't. I mean, it's unbelievable. Kennedy is, it's just unbelievable. But here's what's the most interesting thing to me about it is nobody really cares. I mean, in 20 years ago, if the Washington Post had done a hit piece on you, you know, it was the talk of the town, and 100 people would call you, or they might not have emailed you, but they would have called you, and, you know, you would have heard a lot about it. Not this time. Everybody just kind of considers them, you know, serious people don't take them seriously. It's very interesting to see the extent that their brand has really gotten in trouble, and you can see serious people just don't take them seriously anymore. It's kind of interesting. I just think it reflects a deep, deep disgust in the body politic, both sides of the aisle, with the shriek-o-meter. Several people have commented that I was canceled off of Twitter. I didn't. I deactivated my account. I kind of had it with Twitter. The last straw was the list of everybody I was following was wiped out, and I don't know if it was hacked or Twitter did it, but I just felt that it was no longer a productive use of my time. I'd much rather spend the time working on the Soleri website. I've tried Gab and Parler, but the one I liked was Parler, but then Parler was shut down. And I tried WeMe and, or is it MeWe? MeWe, not sure. And I just felt at some point, you know, none of these platforms would be trustworthy. So I said, okay, we're going to spend, for now, we'll spend the time on the Soleri Report site. Anyway, Ides of March, pray for all concerned. Common coherence is going to result in a lot less death and a lot less disease and be much more productive than the rising fear levels and the shrieking. But we all have to be prepared to navigate through if the fear levels continue to rise and the shrieking continues to rise. The sort of the ultimate shocking moment this week was Anderson Cooper alluded to the Rwandan genocide when discussing the January 6th rally in Washington. And you just thought, every time I think it can't get more bankrupt, it gets more bankrupt. So I think when $400 trillion has to find a home in the real world, you're going to get this extraordinary kind of behavior. And we are literally seeing groups of people lose their mind and certainly lose their sensibility. So be careful, and it's a good time to be as far from the centers of power as possible, because the meltdowns are going to be many. Money in markets, all returns are total return for the 2021 year to date. So this is the Wednesday close. The dollar index is holding that 90 line. So it's very interesting to watch. If it breaks that 90 line, we're going to have a lot to talk about. TLT, which had a spectacular performance last year, the long treasury ETF is now down almost 5% for the year. The intermediate treasury ETF down 1.34%. Bond aggregate off almost 1%. And junk up 75 to 80 basis points. So junk is the only one that's in the black. Equities, the S&P is up 4.33%. The home builders up 12%, still flying. VGK, the European ETF, up almost 3%. Germany up 2.5%. Developed markets minus North America up 3.32%. The Chinese market stronger, and part of that's a weaker dollar, 13.53% for the year. That's the large caps. Emerging markets, 10.59%. The commodities index up 9.7%. Gold not doing well. The trend line is down for now. What's interesting is even though prices are falling, supply is not rising. I'm getting a couple reports of people having trouble getting supply. So I would say the smart money is buying gold. And I think if you look at the Bitcoin pump, which is flying right now, and, you know, people whose gold are going down and they haven't gone into Bitcoin are feeling a bit grumpy. But if you look at the trend line, it looks like a moonshot. It's now at 46,000. So it hit a low in late January of 33,000 and it bounced down again. But it's back up on the moonshot trajectory. And I suspect if you look at what's happening to commodities and what they're trying to do in terms of farmland and real estate, anything they can do to get people out of gold or out of the commodities and into a new kind of fiat. So if you can get people out of fiat currency but into crypto, you can keep it in the, you know, in the print out of thin air space. And I know everybody who has Bitcoin thinks, okay, well, they can only create so much Bitcoin, but here's the reality. Bitcoin is they're printing Bitcoin out of thin air. They printed Bitcoin out of thin air just the way they printed dollars out of thin air. So I appreciate they can't debase as much. But the crypto pump and dump is on. And I think it's far from over, although the regulators are taking more and more control. A very big moment. Bank of New York Mellon has agreed to be a custodian for Bitcoin, and that's big. Because if you get the really big custodians running custodian in a way that's going to make it much more secure for someone to invest in Bitcoin, particularly the institutions, then you're going to see that $400 trillion that's in the is in the fiat and the fiat money come play over here. There's no doubt about it. So I'd say the pump and dump is far from over. And but I also say when the regulators want to come in and basically take control of this and take it in any kind of direction they can. Silver up 2%, so for the year, so doing better than gold, which is down. And oil doing very, very well. You almost wonder if Biden's various efforts to shut down pipelines, et cetera, isn't to keep the price from going up even faster. Stories. It's quite remarkable. Tucker Carlson keeps just doing a great job. He had a he covered the Bank of America providing customer data to the feds regarding the January 6th rally in Washington. You know, they're trying to persuade everybody that it was an insurrection. It wasn't. It was a staged, what I saw was a highly staged event. And Carlson talked about getting innocent customers fired from their jobs. What he pointed out, which I think was very important, is we don't have definitions of what a domestic extremist is, a domestic terrorist. They're using all these words that there are no definitions. And what's interesting is, after listening to him rant, I point out that there were 715 buildings burned in Minneapolis, but Bank of America never supplied data on the customers involved in burning down 715 billion, I mean, 715 billions buildings in Minneapolis. So it riots all over the country, but you notice the big banks weren't providing the data on the people doing that, even though they're crossing state lines with smartphones. Draghi, former head of the ECB, is going in to run Italy. I think it indicates to me the switch of central banks moving in and taking control of the treasury and the fiscal policy are very real. Secretary Lloyd Austin, confirmation hearing, he's been confirmed. It's clear from his confirmation hearing, the link is up in Ask Catherine, that DOD has Africa on their shopping list. So it's not surprising they want an African American at DOD. A good look if you're gonna move in and play rock and roll with the African command. The number two, Kathleen Hicks, has been approved. She was on a big vaccine initiative with Heidi Larson. So it's interesting they're putting in a woman to lead the effort to push the injections, or certainly with the training to do so. It's a little when you look at Biden and his team and what he's done so far, I would say there's a clear signal of weakness coming from the military complex, which is a little bit unnerving. Our blast from the past this week, we put up a link to the table press we use to collect up all the blasts from the past. And the reason I did that is if you want to find some of the materials in our archive that we keep referring to again and again, pieces like Turtle Fourth or Planning by Seas. Anyway, there's a lot of favorite pieces in the Blast from the Past collection. And if you feel like diving into some of the oldies but goodies, there it is. Our hero this week is Dr. Simone Gold, who is a founder of Frontline Doctors. She has been one of the most eloquent doctors speaking out on protocols that best protect people from whatever the sicknesses are that are being attributed to COVID-19. She was arrested for participating in the rallies on January 6th. And if you sort of track what happened and where she was, it looks to me like there's a very good chance she was set up professionally. This really looks like a hit to me. And there's a legal defense fund. If you look at the hero commentary, we put the link there. We've sent money, and I think she's a quite an extraordinary person. Interestingly enough, not only is she a doctor, apparently she has a law degree, and I think that will help her in this situation. Let's go to the movies. I chose for Let's Go to the Movies this week an interesting series, documentary series done by Netflix, or published by Netflix, Room 2806, The Accusation, and it traces the sexual assault case against IMF head Strauss-Kahn in 2011. He was both the head of the IMF and expected he was in the process of running for president of France against Sarkozy. And I want to tell the story of how I first became aware of this. He had just been arrested. It was May 2011, May 15th, and he had just been arrested in New York. And I walked in, I was in California, and I was working with a partner on money management, and we had an investment committee meeting every morning. And I walked in, and there was my partner and two other people, and they were all abuzz about the fact that Strauss-Kahn, the head of the IMF, had just been arrested in New York. And the partner said to me, "Oh my God, did you know about what do you think happened?" And I said, "Oh, it's just politics. As soon as they get him out of the IMF and the Americans put their own person in, you know, they'll let him go." And just then I got a phone call from a client. I had to leave the room and I walked out and took the call. And these are all people who've been in the private money management business and never worked in politics. And two of them turned to my partner and said, "She's absolutely crazy. You can't just arrest somebody for political reasons and charge him with a sexual assault. You know, you've put us into business with a crazy person. You know, that's the craziest thing we've ever heard." So I come back into the room and they immediately, everybody's quiet. And my partner says nothing about this because we're all sort of new to each other. Anyway, so a couple months go by and sure enough, they put Lagarde in as the head of the IMF and literally turn around and almost the next day let Strauss-Kahn out. Charges dropped. I come back into the investment committee and everybody's looking white as a sheet and very upset. And I said, "What's the matter?" And they said, "Oh, well, Strauss-Kahn just got, all the charges were dropped." And I said, "Well, I know, they put Lagarde in. I told you, as soon as the Americans got their person in, they dropped the charges." And they looked at me because they realized that I had been right the whole time and that their vision of how the world worked was completely not true. And having had experience in government and politics, my understanding reflected, in fact, reality. So I said, "Why is this so surprising?" I explained this. What? There's nothing new here. That, you know, what happened is just exactly what I told you what would happen. And so why are you so shocked? At which point they confessed they thought I was basically insane. And for the last couple of months had basically had that opinion of me. Anyway, so it was kind of very, it was two worlds colliding, people who'd never had any experience in Washington and people who had. So anyway, so they tell the story. And of course, the question is, was this a setup? Was this a false frame? What really happened? And it's a complex, murky story. And you can tell a couple of things from the story. One is, the backdrop to this story and why they would want Strauss-Kahn out, Sarkozy, who was the president, had reason to want to get rid of Strauss-Kahn, who was, you know, clearly going to beat him. One of the backdrops to this was the invasion of Libya, which is portrayed as a civil war. It wasn't a civil war, it was an invasion. And it was an invasion where a significant portion, about 30 tons or more, of Libya's gold disappeared. Now, I assumed at the time that it was Hillary Clinton, the Secretary of State, who had helped engineer this as payback, and probably the president as well, payback for Sarkozy supporting them on the invasion of Libya and slicing up the gold. And for all I know, Lagarde going in at IMF had something to do with who got the gold and where the gold went. Who knows? Also in the backdrop on this is what happened in Benghazi later that year when Ambassador Christopher Stevens was killed. And another part of this story is, a very interesting part of this story is that Goldman Sachs was in the middle of a serious litigation problem with the Libyan Investment Authority. They had been given authority to invest over $1 billion of the Libyan Investment Authority's money and had lost 96% of it coming into this period in 2011. So you had a couple of very amazing things going on, not to mention the fact that Gaddafi was in the process of talking about circulating equity and using gold for currencies in Africa. Libya at that time was the wealthiest country in Africa and a country where the people enjoyed an extraordinary social safety net and standard of living relative to Africa. Anyway, I've put some of this in the show notes. So it was a highly political situation. And if you look at what happened to Strauss-Kahn, to me, it was very much engineered, and it was engineered by picking on his weakness. I mean, that's one of the things you do if you ever want to take somebody down politically. You try and shoot them where they're weak. But there's a story here, and if I had 1,000 hours with nothing to do, digging in and figured out what really happened to that gold and what went on in Libya, is something that I might do. Because there's a fascinating story here. Tom Friedman once said that when they invaded Libya, they uncorked Africa, uncorking the flow of immigrants into Europe. And that's the case. And if you look at the extraordinary damage that has been done to millions of people and refugees and different parts of Europe as a result of this one combination move of Obama and Clinton and Sarkozy, etc., into Libya, the heartbreak it's caused has been incalculable. So room 2806, as one of my colleagues used to say, a perfect example of how they do you. You know, the game of control files, whether real or faked up. Our interview this evening is not an interview. It's Catherine walking around the website. So we've had lots of requests for sort of guidance on how to use the Solari Report. And I thought it would be interesting to just walk you around the website and talk a little bit about what we're about and how to get the most out of your subscription. It's really important to us that you get as much value as possible. We like to have a high return on investment of your time and money, and it's very important to us that we're useful. So our tagline is helping each other live a free and inspired life. That's our goal. And I hope this helps you get the most out of the Solari Report. And of course, your feedback and ideas are constantly coming in, and we appreciate them tremendously. Okay, that's it for this evening. I look forward to Money and Markets with you next week with John Titus. More to talk about on the Going Direct, Reset. If you haven't, again, watched Going Direct Reset with John Titus and more discussion of Going Direct Reset in last week's Money and Markets, I really encourage that. We have a great Solari report coming up next week. It's the second in the Via Europa series from Vanessa Beer Schaefer. Is the Foreign Corrupt Practices Act a trap? It's with Frederic Perucci. I reviewed his book, An American Trap, last year on the Solari Reporter the year before. Fantastic book. Wonderful Frenchman who mastered the Foreign Corrupt Practices Act the hard way. Same way Catherine mastered the QITAM statutes. It's an incredible story, and I really appreciate Vanessa going in and interviewing Frederick, and I think This should be required watching in every MBA program in the world as to how to play economic warfare, both this interview and his book. Then the following week, the wellness series, exploring the connection between spirituality and health with a wonderful Frenchman that Bridget interviewed. It's going to be in French and English. His name is Ulrich, and it's not Ulrich Groniger. It's Ulrich with no E. Then we have a new special report that we'll publish next week. I did an interview with Dr. Mark Skidmore this week on the missing money. Also an update on the patterns in the thrift savings plan. Anyway, so a lot of great material coming up. And of course, in March and April, we go heavily into take action, take action, take action. That's going to be the topic for the first quarter wrap-up, take action. So until next week with Via Europa and Money and Markets with John Titus, don't worry about whether or not there is a conspiracy. As I said in my interview tonight, you're already in one because essentially that's what Solari is. But feel free to start another one. We need as many as we can get. Ladies and gentlemen, good night and good luck.